Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Take advantage of these savings. They've extended their Labor Day savings all throughout the end of the month. So you have plenty of opportunities to come down and take advantage of it. You're looking for that Titan. I'm not going to lie, dude. I want that Titan bad. Drive one of those bad boys. Pull up into the cul-de-sac with that sucker. People are going to be like, yep.
Oh. Hook up a fifth wheel.
That dude knows what he's doing right there.
Take it up into the back country. Go out, switch the hubs into four-wheel drive.
Slam it down into four-wheel drive, and off you go.
Those are a beautiful pickup. I know that you had one for a bit and did not want to turn that one over.
That one I had a hard time giving back. Yeah, not going to lie. I mean, you've driven the truck for a long time.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to get behind those wheels and just to think, you know, I can haul whatever I need.
Once you get a taste of truck life, it's hard to go back.
It is. In fact, you go down to Home Depot and you get some ground cover just so you can throw it in the back.
Yeah.
I want 2 yards of that gravel in the back of my truck.
Come in with a skid loader and just drop it right there in the back, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hauling that stuff home.
Darn right. You hitch up a couple of trailers, even though it's not your ski-doos.
Some guy's like, hey, why are you hauling my trailer around? Just
because
I can. That's why. Kalani Sitake met with the media earlier in the week and took a lot of questions. And, Hans, after we hear from Kalani, I want to talk more about this, the Tom Homo element to this, too, because I think it's important. And we mentioned it on Monday, but I think it's worth reiterating. Tom Homo's role that he should probably be taking publicly with this BYU football team. But here's Kalani Sitake addressing the media, answering some pretty hard questions after the announcement that BYU would not be playing Army this week.
All right. Well, talking about this week, just, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to play the game against Army this weekend. But looking into everything that we've had, and just want to express to everybody that I have a lot of confidence in our sports medicine department and our administration and the decision-making process that they go through. On our flight to Navy, we had tested, and everyone on that plane, on that chartered flight, tested negative. And so on our return, we were able to test our guys and had a small number of positives. And because of that, with all the different variables involved, because of the travel, you can imagine all the people that we had to connect with, and got a lot of feedback from all these different separate entities. And after looking into it more and hearing from all the various groups, our administration and sports medicine department decided to postpone. It would be the responsible thing to do, and be the right thing to do as a partner to Army, knowing that all the complications that come into, especially with COVID, especially in the travel, there's a lot of different variables involved. And so you could think about things like travel, food, transportation, all those different things that come into play, and then who you have to talk to, and the groups that you involve in and decision-making process, hearing their feedback from states to city to county to health departments, and taking that all the information in, we felt like this was the right move to do, is to postpone the game, knowing that this is a moving target and things have kind of changed day to day, week to week, and surrounding the pandemic and surrounding this virus specifically. So that being said, I think that what complicates things a little bit more is that the majority of our tests have been asymptomatic, people without symptoms, which when you're looking through it and trying to find out how many people this could infect or affected, the mindful and the responsible thing to do would be to postpone this game, get an early jump on it. And I feel fully confident that we as a football program and sports medicine department and school have done all the right things in leading up to this point, including making this decision to postpone the game. So that being said, love to take any questions that you guys may have and answer as much as I can that involves me.
All right, Jared, go ahead.
Thanks, Kalani. You knew this was a possibility, that something like this could happen. And what's it been like to go through the timeline, through the process, now that it's become a reality instead of just a possibility, as you've talked to the staff, as you've talked to the players, as you've tried to work through all of the things how prepared were you for that?
Oh, we've been really prepared for all of it. But as this thing goes, I think what complicates it the most in our position is that is a travel, right? And so had this been a home game, I think things would have been a little bit different. There's less entities and people and groups involved. We still have the final say as a department, sports medicine department and athletic department and administration. But when we're traveling, you're involving different states, going from state to state. There are different regulations and policies that are involved with other states. So this has been an educating process from here on out. Now, as we get ready to travel and possibly travel at other spots for our future games, we'll need to take this in consideration. But I don't know if there's fans or alumni that want to donate their personal planes so we can fly 30 planes out there, that would definitely keep it at the low risk environment. But from our football program and from our administration sports medicine department, we've done everything according to what's right and according to being mindful and thinking of others and responsible. So I don't think there's any chance that you could look at recklessness or anything being an issue here. This is in fact, doing the responsible thing is to be a good partner to Army, knowing that we can get ahead of this and to try to get this kind of under control right now, especially with looking at trying to look at all the different variables that are involved with it. We want to make sure we get this right before going on and risking other programs in other places.
All right, let's go Dana and then Jake Edmonds.
Hey, Coach, how confident are you that the Troy game is actually going to be played? And I assume the players that did test positive, are they going to be held out of this in quarantine, or is there a chance those players could come back? And just your thoughts on actually getting that home game played a week from Saturday.
I think the goal is try to get our players back for that game, you know, and what we're doing this week and what we've done since we've got those positive tests and since last week, you know, is try to provide an environment so that we can get those guys back as soon as possible and get the whole team back. Right now, this week, we're going to do a different form of practice. I mean, we're limited to certain groups, and our groups are going to be 10 to 15, and they can't involve other coaches moving back and forth and other players moving back and forth. And so this week won't be the same type of prep that you would do for an opponent, knowing that you can't get on the field and practice all the different looks you're going to get. But our guys will be, you know, we'll do our install through virtual, through Zoom and things like that. And we'll try to get as much preparation for Troy as possible. But that's really hard to do unless you get on the field and practice that. And what we're hoping is that by next week, we can get back to practicing, as a program together and prepping the right way before that game. And hopefully we can get that going by Monday. Some individuals, depending on how everyone tests out, will be limited and may not even return until then. And even if players are late getting back, we want to make sure that they're safe and that they're not at risk for anyone else, but also for themselves. You know, we're trying to keep these guys in shape and make sure that they're not entering the field without a lot of practice or prep. It wouldn't be a smart thing for us as a program to do. So we want to keep them in mind and make sure that we're in the right spot. That's why this move and this decision was really vital for us going into that game against Troy.
All right, Jake Edmonds and then Jake Hatch.
Hey, Coach. Before the season started, you mentioned that you would basically play until they told you to stop. Did you and Tom come to a conclusion as far as like a criteria in terms of the number of cases on the team that would, you know, cancel a game or stop the season? Or was it always going to be kind of a week by week or even a player by player basis?
No, I think what it came down to was the other players involved. If it was just, like I said, with all the variables coming into it, when you're hearing and you have to alert other people of when you have a positive test, you have to include them in the whole decision-making process. And so when you're looking at it and you're thinking, okay, and they're telling you their protocol on whether something is a high risk or low risk environment, that was for us is like, you know, when we took all the information back from all these different groups, the right thing to do was to postpone it. And this isn't stop, this is wait, you know, so we're going to keep playing until they say stop. They haven't said stop yet. And if we keep doing our part, we can continue to play, although it's going to be a little bit different. Listen, this is different than anything we've faced, right? And that's going for all of us in the community. And so as we're working through the whole deal around COVID, we knew that this might be in the future, but there's a lot of flexibility in our scheduling. Unfortunately, this is part of the season this year. We're not the only game that has postponed their games and have to reschedule. There's a number of other ones too, but that shows that programs and administrations are thinking about others and are thinking about the safety of people and the players involved before just going on and just playing. This is a very responsible move by BYU, and I applaud it. I'm just gonna do my part to get this done this week and hopefully get back to next week where our players can practice and prep for Troy.
Kalani, we saw over the weekend Mike Buddy, the AD from Army, advocating for a team to play them this week, looking for somebody. What is your confidence level you guys will get this game back on the schedule this season?
I mean, that's Tom's department, but I looked ahead of it, and it doesn't seem too hard to me. We want to play them. Army's a really good team. They're doing some great things right now, too, and I don't think anyone else is 2-0. I think they are, but would love to play that game. We have an opening on November 28th and December 5th. So do they. So it doesn't seem like it's that hard. I'll let Tom deal with that, though.
Okay, Norma and then Shep.
Hey, Coach. So you mentioned how one of the biggest issues with trying to maintain that bubble environment is traveling. And if you were to stay home, that would reduce a lot of the higher risk situations. But what is your opinion or just your thoughts on what is going on the BYU campus outside of football with the parties being thrown over the weekend, the Young and Dumb production making pop-up clubs around town, and how students are just kind of doing whatever they want as if it were a regular school year?
Well, I don't know anything about all that stuff except for educating my players to be smart and to, do their part. We all have a responsibility individually here on our football team. You know, there's 123 guys on our football roster, and that including with the coaches, staff, and support staff. I think it's really important for us to be mindful of others. And I think what's really dangerous about the virus is that all the majority of the tests that we've had that are positive are asymptomatic. That's a dangerous thing out there. When in the past, I mean, I don't know, it seemed like if you had symptoms, you go get tested. Now you could test positive and not know. But I think what BYU is doing is great. We test 3 times a week, and when you test it and you get these positives, you have to respond accordingly. And I've been really confident the way our program has handled this, and looking forward to our players being smart. If they want to play football, this is the deal. So I can't believe BYU's throwing parties. Where were they when I was a student, you know? I like to dance.
All right, Shep, go ahead.
All right, Kalani. Realizing where most of these questions are going to come from, I did want to make sure that we asked you about the Louisiana Tech announcement that was announced about 20 minutes ago. Just your thoughts on taking on La Tech coming up on the 2nd of October.
Great team, great coaches. It's going to be a great test for us. You know, we're focused on getting through this week and focusing on Troy, but glad that Tom was able to add that to the schedule. And I think the world of that program, they have tons of athletes. You know, we have coaches here that have spent some time in that state in Louisiana, so we know what type of athletes they can bring here. And they're going to cause some issues, but right now focused on Troy, but glad that schedule is filling out. And you know, in connection to that answer, I think that it's important that people know that we want to play Army. That's not something that our players are excited about. That we had to postpone that game. Our guys want to get on that game, and you know, there's a lot of things that we want to prove, a lot of things that we want to test ourselves. And facing a team like Army, their physical, tough part of the game, I think that fits what we want to challenge ourselves with. So we're looking forward to getting that rescheduled, hopefully, and really glad that we're able to add quality opponents like La Tech, and looking forward to that. But we'll try, as a head coach, I'm going to try to stay focused on this, but this is a different year. You know, you got to be able to see what else is going to happen out there. And, you know, as teams and programs start to make these decisions, whether they're postponed games or not, you know, you may see a lot of flexibility in schedules in 2020. That's okay. I think a lot of the athletic directors knew that this might be, it might have to be a transition that you're making through the fall of 2020.
All right, let's go Jeff Renier and then Mitch Harper.
Yeah, hey, Kalani. I was just curious about, you guys had such a great start to the season.
I'm just curious how you stay so positive, or how you stay positive after jumping into the top 25 and everybody talking about BYU football, and now all of a sudden it comes to a stop. Has to be some frustration level there.
No, I mean, we get to still play, you know. I have a lot of friends that aren't playing right now, and there's a lot of great football players that are not playing right now, you know. And so I know their frustrations. And right now we have it on hold, right? And so this level and this attitude that we have of appreciation and gratitude is going to continue. We talked to our players, had meetings about this entire process, and told them about it, you know, before the weekend that this was a strong possibility of postponing the games. A huge disappointment in them, but they also left there with a lot of gratitude. You're going to talk to some players that they'll tell you that they're just thankful that they still have an opportunity. Well, other conferences are voting to see if they're going to continue to play. We have an administration that has been behind our players 100%. And this is just one of those bumps in the road that we have to just be able to adjust to. It's okay, you know, we have a responsibility when we're traveling to other states to include the other states and include their policies and their regulations into our travel as well. Be mindful of them. And then if we do that correctly, we can continue to travel. So this is an ongoing thing, but I've been really, that's where the positivity comes from, is that we get to still play, you know, and a lot of good friends of mine, a lot of great players are out there not able to do that. And I feel for them, but you know, we're still fortunate in this position right now.
Kalani, was there any talks about Army coming out to Provo to play this game?
Man, I don't know, Mitch. You're going to ask me a question that I can't answer. I don't know. I'm sure that when you're talking to our administration and their administration, they tried everything they could to accommodate and try to make it work. Everybody wants to play the game. It's not like we decided, okay, there's no game and that's it. They were trying. Everyone's trying to find different ways to be creative to have the game keep going. So I have a lot of confidence in Army and that they wanted to play this game. And then I know they feel like we want to play as well. So there's still a chance that it could continue. And hopefully we get that game scheduled soon.
All right, let's go David James and Patrick Kinahan.
So Kalani, just to be clear, you were talking about travel issues, and that was part of the problem here, getting into the state of New York and playing the game? Are there rules in the state of New York that we're going to preclude this from happening?
Without getting into details, the problem is all the states that are involved with our travel, our own state, and other states that we are going to travel to. So when you look at all those different groups, if it was just a decision to me, it'd be easy. We'd be on our way to West Point, right? But after I listened to all the feedback and talked to our sports medicine department, and talk to our administration, this seemed like the right thing to do, the responsible thing to do. And that's why we did it. I don't think I can name all the different groups that we spoke to and the different things, feedback we got from other groups and looked at all their policies, their protocols, their regulations, all those things involved. I'd rather Tom and them just handle that. And I can just say, okay, we'll just do whatever we can. Fortunately, you know, I like listening to what they have to say because it's an educational deal for me to learn more about it. And what we can do on our end to keep everything low risk so that for our future travels, you know, and that's what we're focused on trying to do. But, you know, at this point, when we looked at it, testing and being COVID free, getting on that plane to Annapolis was the most important thing. There's a lot of other things that come involved with it. And whether you're traveling to another place or from another place.
There you go. Kalani Sitake addressing the media there you go. You got BYU taking another week off before getting ready to play, what is it, Troy, coming up next week. It's hard to wait.
It's tough to wait, but it's going to happen. You know, and they've got to believe that, and I think BYU fans, that's where you need to stand, is that you need to believe that. I'm sure that Tom Homo is believing it. And, you know, Scotty, you talked about Tom needing to be out in front of this, and we've definitely reached out a handful of times, and we've sent out another request, and I do want all BYU fans to be aware that everybody's requesting Tom, and everybody would like to get quotes from him and sound bites and interviews and thoughts, but it's just been really difficult. Tom is not a real in front of the public type of guy. You get those, what is it, one, is it two times a year?
Yeah, where he has the round table.
You get that, and that's about all you get. And you know, they finally got him on the BYU Sports Nation because things were heating up. I just would really like to hear from Tom.
I agree.
I don't even want to hear from Kalani right now. Kalani needs to keep his head down, and there are just questions he can't answer. He can't answer, you know, what's going on with the medical institutions and how they're making their decision. He can't answer what happened with Louisiana Tech and how that came about. And he can't answer what is the future of this schedule or this schedule, let alone this program. And, you know, Tom, I'd like to hear from Tom. So we've put that request in. I hope to hear back from him and Duff Tittle, and it'd be nice to be able to get him on for a conversation.
It's really not fair to Kalani to have to answer some of those questions.
It's tough.
Kalani has to do media availability, and when there's a lot of things like this going on, he's going to get the brunt of those questions because he's up close and he's the one that people have access to. I just think it's not fair to Kalani. I think Tom Mahomo could do a lot to help him, to help out Kalani by saying, look, these are unique times. And I know Tom doesn't like to get out in front of the camera very often, but these are crazy and unique times. And this is a time where Tom needs to say, hey, look, this is what happened. This is what we're doing to move forward. We got the Louisiana Tech game. This is how this came together. We're still full speed ahead. Let's go. And that's all he's got to do. It would be helpful to take some of that heat off of Kalani. All right, Mark's with us once again. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. A lot of times you start looking at your statements and you're looking at how much you're paying in interest. You're like, I could buy another vehicle with that sometimes.
I know. You're like, boy, that'd be nice if I didn't have to add all that extra interest to my deal. Yeah, for
but
sure.
Imagine 0% interest, and you'll extend that to 72 months.
72 months, 9 different new Nissan vehicles you can get that on. So practically everything we make, you can get 0% APR for 72 months, like the Titan is on there, the Murano, which is a wonderful
SUV. I drive the
Murano.
Don't
you drive one of those?
I love it. Yeah. Love the Murano.
They're great.
It's probably the favorite vehicle I've ever owned.
Oh, they drive so nice. The seats are comfortable. You got to come down and take them for a drive. And something I wanted to tell you about our used cars that a lot of people do or don't know. I don't know. But, you know, the Internet, great thing. It's connected us with so much data, so much understanding. And we use that to help price our used car vehicles the very best in the market. So, for instance, we've got a 2017 Honda Accord over here, right? 45,000 miles. We see every single one of those records in that year, in that mileage range. We know where they're priced, and guess what we do? We go, where do we need to be priced to be number one? And we price our car that way.
It's pretty simple. Great staff, great philosophy, great savings down here. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4500 South State Street. And remember, you come down here, you pick up a new vehicle or a high selection of the used vehicles, and for as long as you own that vehicle and as many miles as you want to put on it, that car is going to be covered.
The warranty that lasts forever.
That's only down here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
She roots for the Utes. She follows the Cougars.
We're just wondering if there's any little future, as you almost called it, Ugers.
If a Ute and a Cougar. Oh, we got a Uger.
You just coined a new phrase right there.
Uger.
You're onto something. I would trademark that immediately.
We've had a lot of unintentional comedy with me over the years. Now we got a little unintentional genius. How about that?
Zach Wilson. Is he a Uger? Are his family Ugers?
Oh, absolutely. They are on the board of directors of the Ugers.
Wasn't Chase Hansen a Uger?
Jeff
Judkins?
Yes.
Uger. Kyle Whittingham? Uger.
There you go.
Morgan Scally, not a Uger.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Young Kevin Bacon?
I'm not sure about that one. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. So Rock told you last night that he thinks Kevin Bacon and Tom Brady look alike.
Yeah, so the Kevin Bacon from The River Wild.
Man, I remember when that thing came out in theaters.
Where do you rank Kevin Bacon as an actor?
Pretty good. I think he's solid.
What's your favorite Kevin Bacon movie, Tremors?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Or is
highly
it,
underrated movie.
Would it be...
I'm not going Footloose. That's too easy.
Okay, well, there's also that movie where the passed away individual...
Oh, hey. Johnny.
Stir of Echoes.
Johnny just came. Remember, he was the opposing counsel in A Few Good Men. Tom Cruise handed it to him pretty good.
I guess he doesn't look that much like Tom Brady. There's kind of that.
Yeah, square jaw kind of thing going on.
But that movie, River Wild, it holds up. It's solid.
I don't know. It just never, like... who was the lead?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep never really epitomizes that kind of bad A, I'm going to kick you right. I'm going to, you know.
I thought she did a pretty darn good job. Pretty darn good job. And the kid from.
I'll admit, I have not seen that movie. I remember my buddy and I, we went and saw that in theaters. That would have been like 93, 94, around there. And I guarantee I have not seen that movie since.
The kid from Jurassic Park is in it.
Oh, really?
And he does a good job. He's the young kid in it. He does a pretty good job.
Do you know Meryl Streep was supposed to play originally got offered the role of Sigourney Weaver had in Aliens. She was supposed to be that lead character.
Yep, can't see her in that.
I know, because she doesn't kind of exude that, like, I'm going to fight you. It's more like, oh, I'm going to break a nail.
How did you feel like Demi Moore did that in G.I. Jane?
Never watched G.I. Jane.
Oh, okay. It's pretty hard to watch. It's kind of a difficult watch because she goes through hell. But I thought she did a pretty good job being a tough character.
Yeah, you remember what her nickname was in there?
G.I. Jane?
No. No, Meryl Streep.
In what?
In River Wild.
I don't know. I just watched it. What was it?
Whitewater. Come on.
Oh, that's right. Good pull, Lloyd. Good pull. You were talking about... Who's the toughest female actor that plays a tough female role?
That's a great question. Huh.
The toughest female actor that kind of plays...
Oh, I got it.
Is it Rodriguez? What's her name in the
I will always go T2 and Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, that's Hillary Swank, character. Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, she dies at the end.
Scotty.
The movie's been out for a while. I think it's okay.
Oh, man. Well, she did break her vertebrae, her spinal cord. What about Michelle? Is it Michelle Rodriguez?
Michelle Rodriguez. She was in one of those the 40 Fast and Furious movies.
She always plays the tough girl. At 975 Hans, at Scotty G Zone, the best tough girl actors.
Let's see.
Hamilton was fantastic in Terminator 2.
Yeah. And even when she came back, too. That's a really good question. Angelina Jolie, you think her as tough? Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And what else? Tomb Raider. Never watched Tomb Raider.
Angelina Jolie.
If I ever see a movie they say based on a video game, I'm like, nope. Gonna watch that,
man. I'm just kind of going through some of the movies and the female characters. Tough to come up with that one. Best tough girl actors in a movie.
How about Goldie Hawn in Wildcats? She was tough.
I'd go Michelle Pfeiffer in where she was a teacher.
Yeah. Gangster's Paradise?
Yeah, well.
Was that the name of the movie?
I forget Kevin Bacon was in Apollo 13, too. I forgot about that. All right.
Keep them coming in. Keep the names coming in here.
Good stuff, man. All right, Hans and Scotty, BYU preview show. Nothing to preview coming up this weekend, which is why we're talking about tough female actors.
Yeah. Kind of tough, man, watching the Army game get canceled. I do know, and just to kind of reiterate where we started in the first part of the BYU preview show, I do know that these guys are actively keeping themselves engaged, in shape. They're working in the groups that they're limited to, and they're doing it with full anticipation that they are going to be finishing out the season. I also know, Scotty, that they're very confident as a crew. They believe that they have a great team, which actually made the Army game cancellation even more difficult. You saw Army climbed up into the top 25. They got up to number 22, just below BYU at 21 in that original poll. And BYU won an opportunity, and it would have been a great one for them. So a very large missed opportunity. All of them are hurting. They're all kind of reeling a bit. But they also know that this game is going to – It is going to proceed. This season is going to proceed. They know that.
Well, and I think that's where we're at now in a sporting world, and I think that's why the Big Ten's coming back, and I fully anticipate that eventually at some point the Pac-12 is going to come back, and maybe even the Mountain West is going to come back, is because people are realizing, and I think Kurt Heelan said it really well, and I don't know who he was quoting, but a government official in France, and you're seeing Europe starting to pick up in cases again. Like, look, we're at a point now where we just got to figure out a way to live through this or live with this thing. We're probably not getting a vaccine available to the full public until probably middle next year. So what are you going to do until then? Well, you got to find a way to work. You got to find a way to live your life. You got to find a way to facilitate the financials needed to run an athletic program.
Yeah.
And people are saying, well, you're playing because of the money. Yeah, because you got thousands and thousands of livelihoods that depend on that money. So yeah, I think it's always kind of, it's sure it is about the money because these are businesses and there's people that need to pay their mortgages.
Well, that's why we knew eventually there'd be egg on the face of these conferences that didn't play, because we knew that there would be high schools, professional teams, some colleges. We knew that there was going to be sports that were going to go on. And these conferences that tried to dig their feet in with a commissioner like the Big Ten that said, we will not revisit this.
This will not be revisited.
Yeah, don't put guarantees on things like that, because you're going to be forced to revisit it. And you're going to be forced to come back and play, just like the Pac-12 is. The Pac-12 is going to be forced to a large extent to come back and play because of the perception of it, because kids are standing back and watching it not happen. And that would be devastating to that program, not to mention the financial difficulties of it. That's why I still can't believe the Pac-12 is not going to try to get themselves back on a football field and get themselves eligible for that college football playoff, even though I don't think that the Pac-12 really has confidence inside of themselves right now to say we've got a representative in the college
now,
football
now playoff. The dominoes are falling the other way, and you got to fall in line. To me, I just think there's so much hypocrisy in all of this. It really is. I admire the SEC and the ACC for saying, no, we're going to figure out a way to play, because the Big Ten truly felt like, and this, this isn't even speculation, this is out there, the Big Ten really felt like when we shut it down, everybody else is going to follow suit, to the point where the SEC would be the last one, and they just shut it down because there's really no way for them to play anybody else, and there wouldn't be any college football playoff, and it would force them to shut down. And sure enough, the Pac-12 followed suit, and nobody else did at that point. They're like, no, we're going to try to play. It's too early. Remember, this was like August, what was it, 10th, 8th, 9th, 10th, around there, when they decided to shut down. And the other conference like, no, it's too soon to make that call. And you know what? They were right. It was too soon to make that call. And now the Pac-12 is going to follow the Big Ten. It's not a matter of if the Pac-12 comes back. It's a matter of whether they start in October or November. That's the only question remaining with the Pac-12. They're going to play. It's just whether it's going to be in October or November. Why? Because the Big Ten changed their mind. And so Larry Scott and the presidents of the Pac-12 look really foolish. They're like, oh, everybody else is playing? Well, I guess we're going to play now. If you truly believe that it's for the betterment of the athletes not to play, then you probably shouldn't play. I have a lot of respect for the MAC, because they're like, no, we were the first to shut down. Our science still says it's not good to go. We're not going to do it. And I admire that. I don't agree with it, but I admire the fact that they're like, no, we don't care what the Big Ten's doing. We can't do it. We don't feel like we can do it safely. We're not changing our mind. Here's the Pac-12 saying, oh, Big Ten's going? Okay, well, then let's go.
Do you dare read Steve Tate's tweet on air?
I love Steve Tate. I don't have it on me, but essentially said,
wasn't I'm old enough to remember?
Yeah, that's it. I'm old enough to remember when we couldn't play football due to the myocarditis or whatever that heart disease.
The heart issue. How bad does it look for the Pac-12? We've got rep at testing. Well, yeah, but they can still contract it. And you were worrying about this myocarditis or whatever it is. They're like, well, now it's not as much a worry because now we've got rapid testing.
So now we know how soon they're going to pick up those diseases.
I know. It's tough to come out of this looking good at all. It's just difficult. One guy brought up Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
I like that.
That's a really good one. She's tough.
Charlize Theron has had some roles where she's been pretty rough.
Yeah, and Monster.
Monster. Oh, that was.
Yeah, she was horrible. She was horrible in Monster. Somebody said Jennifer Lopez in Enough, but I can't agree that Jennifer Lopez may be an Anaconda, but I don't know Enough.
How about Kate Beckinsale in those like vampire werewolf movies?
I never watched those.
I think you'd find a way to make it through those.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give them a try.
All right, 145, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Take a quick break, come back, wrap things up, get you ready for the big show straight ahead right here on The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
We're talking with Matt Williamson, our NFL insider. Jordan Love went to Utah State, so he's got a lot of fans around here, obviously. But it would seem that the Packers picking him might have motivated Aaron Rodgers just a tad.
Just a tad, yeah. Rodgers has an amazing career. That being said, the last 2 years, he has been a good quarterback. He has not been a great player. And I worried that the end was starting to creep up to him, too. Didn't take as many risks as he used to. Didn't really adapt to the LaFleur offense that great in his first year. But maybe that fire under him now is just burning white hot, and there's nobody more talented.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, so come by and hang out with us. By the way, Gavin Newsom just said, the governor of California, I want to make this crystal clear. Nothing in the state guidelines denies the ability for the Pac-12 to resume. That's been a misrepresentation of the facts. I thought you couldn't play. Thought California, maybe he's talking about county guidelines. Maybe he said, that's a county issue. You need, or a city issue. You need to work on those. But the state, we're fine.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand this because it's kind of breaking news here.
I mean, how many people have we had come on the air that say these guys can't practice? They're not allowed to practice. They can't have a team activity.
Because hasn't this been kind of been, it's been thrown back onto legislators, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. And I've got a couple of people saying, well, no, he's pawning that off on the county. So the state, hey, we're cool. It's your own individual counties. You need to get that. I'm not responsible for you not playing. It's your county officials that are responsible. Well, if he's throwing those guys under the bus, then they'll turn around and give it the green light in a hurry. So, yeah, the Pac-12 is going to go, folks. If the governor is saying this, then and he's passing the buck onto the county officials, then the county officials are going to fold like a broken lawn chair.
You know where I think these pressures and those comments are coming from? It's what we talked about earlier. The Pac-12 is saying, we're going to do this with or without you. And the pressure's mounting because we're going to release a statement. So do you want us to include your state's team's names, or do you want us to just say, this is now the Pac-8, and we can't get Oregon, we can't get California on board. So we're going to move forward without these six teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's – sorry.
There's that on-air math again.
Yep.
I'm a little bit nervous about it.
You got four in California.
Yep.
Two in Oregon. That's six. Minus 12. I think we're going to be okay. It's when we get into the millions and the hundreds of thousands that we get into trouble. Or maybe 600 plus 200.
Or the times tables.
Times tables were never good to be back in the day.
Oh, man. California, get your act together.
Hey, Jeff Hansen, don't tweet in tough women actors Jennifer Lopez and Made in Manhattan. That's... it's not okay.
Yeah. Well, that was that not your go-to?
No, that was not my
go-to. Seems to be
go-to
at the top of your mind at all times.
Very violent folding those towels.
I don't think I've ever even really seen the movie.
Oh, man, that's funny.
All right. Hands with Scotty. Wrapping things up. Mark's hanging out with us right now. Mark, it is a warranty that will last forever. Hey, we're in Utah. We'll call it the eternal warranty.
You know, you beat me to it, and I was already looking up. You mentioned that when we closed out our last little session here, talking about our eternal warranty. I love it.
As long as you own the vehicle, as many miles you want to put on it, it's still covered.
It's still covered, and if you think you can take it with you, I'm sure it'll be covered there too.
Yeah. Who says you can't take it with you?
The eternal warranty. So, yeah. No, come on down here. We've got some great new and used vehicles that are all covered with our warranty that lasts forever and maybe even eternal. If you have any, you put all the miles on it you want to. And as long as you own it, you bring it in here and it's got a mechanical warranty on it, we'll fix it. That's really cool. Talk about peace of mind.
You draw, and look, I'm a huge fan of the Rogue.
Oh.
It's the number one selling SUV in the country, and you mentioned you get that thing on a lease for less than $200.
Yeah, $199 a month. Yeah, jeez. You can roll in here and roll out of here for, what is that, four pizzas the way I order?
I'm with you, man. You can really fill up that back seat in a hurry, man.
Oh, yeah. That's why you got all those extra shelves in the back of the Rogue, so
yeah,
you don't get that sliding pizza mess.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, the Rogue is an awesome car. I own one. I love it. And the all-wheel drive is perfect for our winters.
So you get that bad boy all-wheel drive. The Altima, by the way,
all-wheel drive.
And
yep,
thousands less than the competition.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing.
I think it's about $6,000 less than a Toyota Camry.
Which does not have all-wheel drive.
No, all-wheel drive, yeah.
You'd be fooling yourself not to come down here and at least check out some of these vehicles. Price to move. The Labor Day savings continuing through the end of the month.
That's right. We got that all extended from Nissan till the end of the month. So if you missed out, you haven't missed out, come on in. We'll get you taken care of.
Let's make it happen. It's Tim Daly Nissan in Murray right here on 97.5 The Zone. Big show coming up next.